In heaven, God participated in what was happening on earth when Jesus died. The effects of his sacrifice reached even into the presence of God, and the result was that God accepted in heaven what Jesus did here on earth. Where was the propitiation for sin made? On earth or in heaven? That seems like a strange question, particularly since Jesus came to earth for the suffering of death to redeem sinners. Yet it is a valid question. For the Bible teaches that the propitiatory work of Jesus Christ was completed in heaven itself, not upon the earth. That means there is more to the sacrifice of Jesus for sinners than his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. That was the atoning deed, of course, but there was more involved than that. Look back to the Old Testament ritual which pictured the work of propitiation. We call it the Day of Atonement. The record of its details are found in Leviticus chapter 16. After the high priest, acting in behalf of the nation, had killed a goat outside the tabernacle, the ritual was not ended. He went into the holy place. He put live coals of fire on the altar of incense and sprinkled finely beaten incense upon the coals. The whole tent was filled with the smoke of the incense. Then the high priest took the blood of the sacrifice victim into the tabernacle. Entering the most holy place, the holy of holies of God's personal presence, he sprinkled the blood upon and about the mercy seat. He returned to the holy place, changed his garments, and went outside the tabernacle. That pictured the work of our Lord Jesus Christ in securing forgiveness and salvation from sin for us. Hebrews chapter 9 makes application of the significance of the tabernacle and its meaning for us. It reminds us that the worldly sanctuary in which they worshiped had two rooms called the holy place and the most holy place. There were particular articles of furniture in each room. The priests of ancient Israel could enter the holy place in performing their duties, as dressing the lamps on the great lampstand, the changing the bread on the table of showbread. But they could not enter into the most holy place under any circumstance. Only the high priest could enter there once each year, and that with the blood of a victim which had been sacrificed for the sin of the nation. Now, what did all of that ritual and restriction mean? It teaches us two things. First, the Holy Spirit was signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while that first tabernacle was still standing. That is to say, it was a witness that man was separated from God and could approach God only through a mediator whom God approved. But second, that was a figure for the time then present. That is to say, the tabernacle and temple in the Old Testament were but an earthly illustration of a heavenly reality. It was but the example and shadow of heavenly things. It was but the patterns of things in the heavens. The tabernacle in the wilderness, the temple afterwards built in Jerusalem, were but giant object lessons to teach spiritual truths. The most holy place of the tabernacle and temple, from which men were kept on the threat of death, was a picture of the place of God's personal presence in heaven. The mercy seat in the tabernacle and temple simply told that there in heaven is mercy awaiting for those who approach God in truth. The fact that the high priest could enter into the most holy place only on those occasions when he brought the blood of a sacrifice for sin taught that men are sinners and can approach God only when satisfaction has been made for their sins by the suffering of an innocent substitute. The tabernacle and temple were more than centers of ancient Jewish worship. They were built by divine design so we could understand the matters regulating our approach to God today. Now, where did the high priest accomplish the work of propitiation by making satisfaction for sin in ancient Israel? Killing the sacrifice victim was not enough. The blood of the animal must be sprinkled before the Lord. Only then was the deed of atonement accomplished. The ritual of Israel bore out the truth. After the first animal was killed and its blood sprinkled before the Lord, the high priest announced the removal of sin. He came out of the tabernacle's most holy place, placed his hands upon the head of another animal, confessed the sins of the nation upon its head, and caused it to be carried into the wilderness, so far from the camp that it would never return again. That meant the sacrifice of sin, with the sprinkling of the blood before the Lord, had effected the removal of the sin for the whole nation. But it was after the presenting of the blood before the Lord that forgiveness was announced. Hebrews chapter 9 is very careful to inform us that ritual in the wilderness and temple was a picture of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. He offered the sacrifice for sin when he was crucified at Calvary. He was the innocent substitute for guilty sinners. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. It was as if God had placed his hands upon the head of his only begotten Son and confessed the sins of the world upon him, as did the high priest in the ritual of the Old Testament. For the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus went to the cross bearing the sin of mankind. His own self bore our sins in his own body on that tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By his stripes we were healed. The Old Testament ritual helps us to understand the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But that is not the end of the atoning work. As the blood of the sacrifice animal had to be presented before God, so the sacrifice of Jesus had to be presented before God for the propitiation to be complete. Now that is the truth expressed in Hebrews 9:23-24. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. What a word! The sacrifice was done here on earth. The propitiation was performed in heaven. It was not that Jesus did a right ritual and thereby secured forgiveness. Much more was involved beyond that. In heaven, God participated in what was happening on earth when Jesus died. The effects of his sacrifice reached even into the presence of God there. The result was that God accepted in heaven what Jesus did here on earth. It was not necessary, I think, for the actual, literal blood of Jesus to be taken into the infinite heaven of God and be sprinkled there. But it was necessary that what was done on earth be accepted in heaven as the sufficient sacrifice for sin. God accepted it. And so Jesus has put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now here's what it means to you and me today. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. On the solemn day of atonement, the people of ancient Israel stood by and waited expectantly while their high priest represented them before God in the rituals of sacrifice. Then they rejoiced in faith when the rituals announced that their sins had been taken away. Oh, how much better we are. Our great high priest, even Jesus, has offered the one sacrifice for sins forever. And we rejoice through faith in him, knowing that our sins are forgiven forever. Oh, Father, thank you for accepting in heaven what Jesus did here on earth in his death in the place of sinners. And thank you that all we who believe in him have received complete and eternal forgiveness of all sin. Thank you for making it clear to us through the rituals of ancient religion that we might have assurance today. In Jesus' name, amen.